Right, now we're going to make a restart. There might be some more people coming, but we'll no worry about that. The more the merrier. And coming late is better than no coming at all, isn't it? So that's good. Right, nice to see you all. And we're going to start with the one on the back of your book, Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright, yet round yon virgin and her child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Just to consider that great truth, and we'll be thinking about that later on, just for a wee moment or two, his coming into the world. Now we're going to go back in the book a little bit, and we're going to go to one number 7, which is one the children sing quite often, but it's still a lovely carol, Away in a Manger, No Crib or a Bed. Number 7.
Away in a manger, no crib or a bed.
Jesus.
We'll just have a wee word of prayer before we go any further at the beginning of our little Christmas service together. So just like to ask God a blessing upon us. Our God and Father, we thank thee indeed for bringing us together this afternoon. We thank thee for the folks who are here from the hospital and friends who are here visiting, and for the staff who are with us too, around about here. And we just pray a blessing upon each and every one. And we thank thee, our Father, for thy goodness to us in giving us thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for his coming into this world. We thank thee for the many blessings that we know in our lives because of that. And we pray, our Father, this afternoon that as we consider more about him, that we might really get to know him personally as our own personal Saviour. We thank thee, our Father, for what thou hast done through him at Calvary. And we bless thee that as he came into this world as a baby into the manger at Bethlehem, that he knew what he came for, and his purpose was before him as he came to go to Calvary to save us from our sins. So we pray a blessing. Remember us all for good. Remember those folks who are here and who are not feeling so well, and we just pray a blessing upon them, that they might know thy presence with them in the darker days of life, and that this day might be a real bright day for them as they understand their particular need of thee and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we seek a blessing upon us now, but we ask it in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now we're going to go right to the back page again, and there's one that you might not know so well, but it's got an easy tune, number 13. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story, 'tis the Lord, the King of glory, at his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Number 13. Manger is the one who rules in the whole universe, who made us all and who made the world around us. And it's marvellous just to think that he in a sense was captivated in a body for a short space of time, even as a little child, and he came to bless us and to die for us at Calvary. Now we're going on to number nine in your book. The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. sing the first four verses, I think, just for the sake of time. The first four verses of this carol.
Oh,
hope you're all as puffed out as me, because it's good to get puffed out singing along with these lovely carols that we've been singing together. And of course they all tell us something specific. They all tell us something about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And this time of year we remember that great event. And you know, of all of the things that have happened in the world, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world was one of the greatest events. Now, you know, we've been, if you've been watching the news today, you'll have seen the news about the passing of Nelson Mandela, and he was a great man in his day. But you know, if we were to take the panoply of the whole world into our account and into our thinking, we would find that probably in time, folks will begin to forget about Nelson Mandela. Now that would be sad in a sense, because he did some really great things. But you know, people have not forgotten, and hopefully will never forget, about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And things that concern the Lord Jesus are the greatest things that take place in the universe. That's why we remember them, and that's why they are remembered by us, because they have an effect upon our lives. And they have an effect upon our everyday living. And so it's good to bring it all to remembrance at this time of year and to think about it. You know, it's a shame really, in a sense, that we've kind of taken Christmas and we've made it into something which it wasn't originally. Because the birth of the Lord Jesus didn't come about to have us thinking about Christmas trees and presents and all that kind of thing, in a sense. Although it's nice to have all these things, and it's nice to remember it in that way. But the birth of the Lord Jesus was a special day. It was a day like no other day. There's never been another day like the birth of the Lord Jesus, because of who was born into the world. Now, normally when we read about these things in the Bible, we'll read probably in Matthew's Gospel and maybe in Luke's Gospel and so on. And we know that story very well, of how the Lord Jesus came and was born of the Virgin Mary, and he was born into a stable and cradled in a manger, and he, you know, was very, very low. Remember where he came from. He came from the highest heights of glory in heaven, and he came down into earth. In a very lowly place in earth, and we're thinking about that. But we're going to read just a verse from somewhere else in the Bible which reminds us about this particular thing, and it's found in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 15. And here's what it says: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And I want to take the last phrase of that verse, and I want to think about that this afternoon as we're together. And here's what it says: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, folks have done this in the past, and we're going to do it again. We're going to break it up into little sections, and we're going to think about the little sections. And there are three words, really, in each section, and so that makes it easy for us to remember. And here's what the three words together: Christ Jesus came. That's the first three words we want to think about. Christ Jesus came. Well, you see, well, why is that important for us to think about that particular thing? Well, you see, it wasn't just any man that came. That's why the Bible says this to us. That's why the Bible and God in heaven wants us to know this. He says it wasn't just any man that came. It was no ordinary person that came. The Bible says Christ Jesus came. Now, in the Bible, there are loads of names for the Lord Jesus. And we could probably list lots and lots of them. But in this verse, there are two names for the Lord Jesus. You'll notice them. It says Christ Jesus. And you say, well, why is that important to us to know that? Well, you see, the word Christ means the Messiah. And so when the Apostle Paul, who's writing this verse in the New Testament, when he's speaking to us, he wants us to understand who it was that came. He said it was the Messiah from heaven that came. Unfortunately, some of the people of the day didn't understand that, they didn't accept that, they didn't know anything about it, they sort of pushed them to one side and they didn't realise who it was that came. What I would like this afternoon for us to do is for us to realise who it was that came. Because, you know, it's all very well for to think about Christmas and all its glitz and so on and so forth and all the wonderful things. And we've got the wee lad here dressed up nearly as Santa Claus here to remind us about that. Isn't that good? That he got himself dressed up that way today. But, you know, it was the Christ that came. It was the person of the only Son of God who came into the world. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? And that he came for a particular purpose, and we'll think about that in a wee minute or two. It's Christ who came, the Messiah of God. And then the Apostle Paul says, not only is it Christ that came, it was Jesus that came. And, you know, he was the one who was spoken about in the Old Testament scriptures, and they told us he was going to come. And here's what the scripture says about him. You will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so, the person that came, the Bible told us about him. And if you go right back to the very beginning of Scripture, you'll find that there was a person talked about, even in the very Garden of Eden, one who was going to come and who was going to deal with sin. And is that not remarkable that the person who was prophesied to come was the person that came? You know, it'd be an awful shame if the wrong person had come, wouldn't it? It wouldn't have done if it had been the wrong person. They wouldn't have been able to deal with the problems that he was going to deal with if it had been somebody else that came. And so it's good for us that today, as we're thinking about it, to understand that it was the Son of God who came. And his name was Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so Christ Jesus came. Now, just the fact that he came is quite remarkable. Because, you know, God has his great power. And, you know, the very same person, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to build all the world around us without ever coming here. He spoke. And everything around us, all the world, not the buildings, obviously, because we built them, but all of the things that we see in nature, our own self, God, the Son of God, made that. Just by speaking, by the word of his power, the Bible tells us that. So he didn't have to come for that. But when it came to dealing with you and I and our need, he came into the world. And he descended from heaven right down. And that's what we're remembering today, the fact that the Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus, came into the world. And that's the next three words we're going to be thinking about. Christ Jesus came into the world. Into the world. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but I didn't know it until very recently, and somebody just mentioned it. That outside of the sphere of this world, there are a billion planets and stars. And in the galaxy. And there are a billion galaxies right out into space. And the Lord Jesus passed all of them by. Come in,
I'm
come
not
here.
Trying to hang me. I'm trying to see if my friend's in here.
Well, how are we looking? If she's here, that's fine.
Yes, I am.
Sorry,
I am. Well, she's this over here.
Oh, she has.
Come into the Halloween seat beside her. Well, we'll continue. Here's a man, I'll give you a seat.
Oh, thank you.
So, Christ Jesus came, and he came into the world. So he could have come, I suppose, and he could have gone to all of the planets. And I don't know if you noticed on the news this morning. If you're watching the news this morning, you'll probably notice that China has landed a spacecraft on the moon. Now, I know the Americans landed on the moon a while ago. And so we seem to be wanting to leave this world and go to other planets, don't we? We're all hunting for other planets. But you know, when the Lord Jesus came out of heaven, he came right down through past all of these other planets. And he didn't go to any of them, because he knew where the need was.
No.
There was no need on another planet. There was a need on this planet. So Christ Jesus came into the world, the very place where we are, the Lord Jesus came to it, forgetting about all of these other planets, and lovely they are. I don't know if you've ever looked up into the sky on a lovely starry night, and you think of all of the distance that's involved, and all of the myriad of stars and planets that are out there. And we think about that, and we say, why was it that Jesus came all the way past all of these planets, right to this one? Why would that be that he would do a thing like that? Well, the next three words tells us the answer to the question. Because it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that very simple? And it's so profound. And it's so remarkable that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Most High in the whole of our universe, that he should descend past all of these other myriads and myriads of stars and planets and come to this world. And he came to this world because there was a need in this world. You know, I don't know about you, but there's occasionally something happens in the house. Maybe you have a burst pipe and somebody sends for the plumber. Yes? And there's water all over the place and you can't do anything about it. You can't find the stopcock and the water's getting worse and worse and worse. Can you imagine the situation? And you send for the plumber and the plumber goes to the wrong house. All of the houses in this area here, and he doesn't know where to go, and he goes to the wrong house, and it takes him ages to find your house. And at that time, disaster has struck. You know, can you imagine that, if that had been the case for the Lord Jesus? When he came out of heaven, if he had decided to go to all of the other planets on the way to find out which one was the problem, where the problem was, he would never have reached here. But the Bible tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world, and he came because there was a major problem. Wasn't it a burst pipe? But it was a problem between us and God. There was this problem between us and God. I don't know if you realise it, but each one of us has a problem between us and God, and it's called the sin of our lives. Now, none of us like to talk about that, and we like to kind of get that out of our way, but, you know, that's what the Lord Jesus did. It says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save sinners. And so, it's worthwhile us understanding that. It's worthwhile us understanding that we need to be saved from our sin. That's what the Lord Jesus came for. And there's a sense in which if we don't pay any attention to that, it's kind of a pointless exercise on our behalf, because he maybe didn't come for you, but he came for me, because I'm a sinner. And you think to yourself, wait a minute, you're a preacher, how could you be a sinner? Well, I can tell you that I'm a sinner just like everybody else. And there was a day when I was just quite a young boy when I understood that, and I realised that, and I heard what the word of God had to say, and I had to make that acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. And I accepted, I realised, and I understood and I believed what the Bible says, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. So he had a purpose for coming. He came to save sinners. He came to where the need was. And you know, I'm awful glad he passed by all the other planets, because I would never have been saved if it had been for the Lord Jesus, if he had gone for some other planet. But he came here. And he came as a baby to Bethlehem, and he came with the purpose of saving me, and he wants to save you too, if you'll only accept him as Saviour. You know, there's one last little three words that we want to think about together, and the Apostle Paul put it this way: I am the chief, and he was meaning the chief of sinners. I am chief of sinners. And you know, I don't know if Apostle Paul was the chief of sinners, because he did some real bad things. He really was bad to Christians in his day. And then he realised that he was a sinner, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. But I don't know, in God's eyes, if he ever was the chief of sinners. I don't know if that's the case. But in his own eyes, he was. And what he did was he realised that he was a sinner, and that he was in need of God's salvation. And this is a little reference to our responsibility before God. You see, each one of us has a responsibility. Now, you know, you get to the stage where you didn't want responsibility. You know, when you're young, you didn't have any responsibility. And then as you grow older, there are loads of responsibilities that come our way of bringing up the family, looking after our home, and doing our job, and all of these responsibilities that we have. And then sometimes as you grow older, and I'm just not long retired, and all the responsibilities of my work are gone. They still keep paying me, thankfully. You know, that's good, isn't it? And all the responsibilities of my work are gone, and sometimes you think to yourself, I could do without any more responsibilities. But there's one responsibility we can't get past, and it's our responsibility towards God to understand that he sent his Son to save us from our sin, and to accept it, and to accept that we're sinners before him. That's our responsibility. So Saul might not have been the worst of sinners, but he realised that before God he was a sinner, and he felt like the worst of sinners. When he realised that the Son of God had died for him at Calvary, and what he had done with the people who were his believers, his people, and what he had done with the Son of God in his life, he had put him to one side, and he didn't really want anything to do with him. And you know, wouldn't it be sad if after more than 2,000 years of hearing the story of Christmas in this world, and some of us have heard it when I'm just turned 58, now I know I don't look it, you look more like 68, okay? Maybe if I had gone for 58 years and never did anything about that and never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that would have been a dreadful thing. Maybe you've lived for a few longer years than that, and maybe some have lived for a few less years than that, I don't know, in the room this afternoon. And maybe you have never done anything about it. Maybe you've just kept it all to one side. I'm going to tell you a story about a man. And he lived in St. Andrews, and he came to St. Andrews as an old man. He was 80 years of age. There's a lady there from St. Andrews, is that right? Yeah, good. Lovely place, St. Andrews. And he came to live in St. Andrews at 80 years of age. And he heard the gospel for the first time. He'd never heard it before. And at 80 years of age, he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Now, he didn't have long to go after that, believe it or not, because he died when he was 84. And I remember him telling me that he was so thankful for the long-suffering of God, who had suffered him for 80 years and hadn't struck him down because of his sin. And he was so glad that God had given him an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, even when he got to 80 years of age. Is that not remarkable? The God of heaven is long-suffering, and he's allowed us to go the length we have without accepting him as Saviour, but he gives us one other opportunity. Today, he's given us another opportunity to listen to what God says to us from his word. And as the Apostle Paul writes this lovely verse, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. May God bless his word to our hearts. Now we're going to sing another chorus to get another carol together. Number 3, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Let's wait till this man gets his music sorted out.
Too high?
Maybe a wee bit too high.
The nurses have very kindly provided refreshments, I hope you can stay and have something to eat with us. And Santa Claus has a box of sweets, so make sure that you get a sweetie from Santa before we'll just close with a word. Our Father, we do thank you for this lovely text that's been brought before us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus, my Saviour, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name, seeking for me. Our Father, we just pray that we might not regard the Christmas story simply as a historical story, or simply as a story for children, or simply as a story to be briefly thought about at this time of the year and then quickly forgotten. But our Father, we pray that all of us, if we've never thought on it deeply before, might think about it deeply today and understand that thy only Son left heaven in all its glory and came past all these billions of stars down to planet Earth so that he might meet our need by dying on a cross. We pray, our Father, that all of us might rise to that responsibility that we've been hearing about. Remember, Paul, I am chief. We pray that all of us might understand that we are sinners for whom thy Son died. And we pray that all of us, if we've never done so before, might open our heart. Into my heart, there is room in my heart for thee. So for this time, for the service, for the wonder of Christmas, we give thanks. Thank you too for food kindly provided. Give me thanks for it. And our Father, we just pray that all of us might have the best of Christmases by receiving thy Son as Saviour. So for all these things, we give thee thanks in his name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you.